Last Saturday was a very special day for Hannah Baxter, who works for the ambulance service, and my brother, Richard Scott, who got married at York Maze on Saturday. Here are all the highlights.
When the one you think of first and last is the one who holds you tight, and the things you plan together make the whole world seem just right. When the one whom you believe in puts their faith and trust in you, you've found the one and only one you'll share your whole life through.
Before you are joining us, I have to remind you of the solemn and binding character of the vows you are about to make. Marriage in this country means the union of two people, voluntarily entered into for life, to the exclusion of all others. So I will now ask each of you in turn to declare you do not know of any reason why you should not be married to each other. Richard, if you would repeat these words after me. I do solemnly declare.
I do solemnly declare.
That I know not.
That I know not.
Of any lawful impediment.
Of any lawful impediment.
Why I, Richard James Scott.
Why I, Richard James Scott.
May not be joined in matrimony.
May not be joined in matrimony.
To Hannah Catherine Baxter.
To Hannah Catherine Baxter.
May not be married. I do solemnly declare. I do solemnly declare. That I know not. That I know not. Of any lawful impediment. Of any lawful impediment. Why I, Hannah Catherine Baxter. Why I, Hannah Catherine Baxter. May not be joined in matrimony. May not be joined in matrimony. To Richard James Scott.
To Richard James Scott.
So now we're going to our second reading from Chris.
This is everything I have to tell you about love. Nothing. This is everything I've learned about marriage. Nothing. Only that the world out there is complicated and there are beasts in the night and delights and pain. And the only thing that makes it okay sometimes is to reach out a hand in the darkness and to find another hand to squeeze. And not to be alone. It's not the kisses, or never just the kisses, it's what they mean. That somebody's got your back, that somebody knows your worst self and yet somehow doesn't want to rescue you, or send for the army to rescue them. It's not two broken hearts becoming one, it's the light from a distant lighthouse bringing you both safely home. Because home really is wherever you are both together. So this is everything I have to tell you about marriage. Nothing. It's like a book without pages or a forest without trees. Because there are things you cannot possibly know before you experience them together. Because no study can prepare you for the joys or the trials. Because nobody else's love and nobody else's marriage is quite like yours. It's a road that only you can learn by walking it together. A dance you cannot be taught, a song that did not exist before you began to sing it together. And because in the darkness you will reach out a hand, not knowing it for certain if anybody else is even there, and your hands will meet, and then neither of you will ever need to be alone again. And that's all I need to know about love.
We now come to the exchange of rings. The wedding ring is an unbroken circle and symbolises an ending, an everlasting love. It is an outward sign of the lifelong promise you are making to each other today. So Carl, have you got the ring?
I give you this ring.
I promise to love, honour and care for you.
I promise to love, honour and care for you.
For the rest of our lives.
For the rest of our lives.
Now we'll turn down the stage. By giving you this ring. I promise to love, honour and care for you.
I promise to love, honour and care for you.
For the rest of our lives.
For the rest of our lives.
Is that going on too?
Yeah. It's on.
You have known each other from the first glance of acquaintance to this point of commitment. At some point, you decided to marry. From that moment of yes to this moment of yes, indeed, you have been making commitments in an informal way. All of those conversations that were held in a car, over a meal, or during long walks, those conversations that began with, when we're married, and continued, I will, and you will, and we will, All those late night talks that included someday and somehow and maybe, and all those promises that are unspoken matters of the heart. All these common things and more are the real process of a wedding. The symbolic vows you are about to make are a way of saying to one another, you know all these things that we've promised and hoped and dreamed. Well, I meant it all, every word. Look at one another and remember this moment in time. Before this moment, you have been many things to one another. Acquaintance, friend, companion, lover, dancing partner, even teacher. For you have learned much from one another these past few years. Shortly you shall say a few words that will take you across the threshold of life, and things between you will never be quite the same. For after today, you shall say to the world, this is my husband, this is my wife.
We now come to the solemn and important part of the day. Everything that has gone before has been preparation, and all that follows is celebration. So as these two persons, Richard and Hannah, contract their marriage before you, their witnesses, would you all please stand? To witness that I, Richard James Scott.
To witness that I, Richard James Scott.
Do take thee, Hannah Catherine Baxter.
Do take thee, Hannah Catherine Baxter.
To be my lawful wedded wife.
To be my lawful
wedded wife. I call upon these persons in present. I call upon these persons in present. To witness that I, Hannah Catherine Baxter.
To witness that I, Hannah Catherine Baxter.
Do take thee, Richard James Scott.
Do take thee, Richard James Scott.
To be my lawful wedded husband.
To be my lawful wedded husband.
The purpose of marriage is that you may always love, care for, and support each other through all the joys and sorrows of life, and that love may be fulfilled in relationship of permanent and continuing commitment. Sally and I trust these days will remain true to you both. Richard and Hannah, you both made the declarations prescribed by law. You made a solemn and binding contract with each other in the presence of your witnesses, family and friends gathered here today. It is my pleasure and privilege to declare you are now husband and wife.
Thank you. Yeah, anyway, you are, ladies.
Have a wonderful afternoon and evening celebrating, and possibly into tomorrow as well. But for the moment, please be upstanding to offer the new Mr. and Mrs. Scott.
According to plan, it should have been her daddy, Frank, standing here. Sadly, this wasn't to be. But I'm sure he too would have been happy and proud to see his beloved daughter on her wedding day, a beautiful bride with Richard by her side, starting a new journey together as husband and wife. The path to finding love has not always been an easy one for Hannah. Along the way... along the way, she encountered many frogs who were not princes in disguise. We have many tears, disappointments, letdowns, and a lot of swearing. But I tried to reassure her that somewhere, someone was waiting for her. Someone who could love and appreciate her for who she is and not be taken for granted. Someone who would share her ambitions, ideals, feelings, and emotions. Someone with whom she can share her life in harmony with love and respect. Richard possesses the same kind, caring and romantic qualities that any woman could want, and Hannah has found her prince. Who wouldn't want such a beautiful, loving and caring young woman? She's perfect to me. Perfect for Richard. May they always be as happy as they are today. May they laugh a lot, talk to each other, share the good times and the bad times, the happy times and the sad times, and make a lifetime of memories to cherish. Please be upstanding. Raise your glasses. Hannah and Richard.
Hannah and Richard.
Hannah and Richard.
I know how I'm going to follow that one. You've raised the bar quite high. Well, I'll give it a go. Now, I appreciate the giving speech is just a build up to the best man speech, but it's also the one with the most toasts. So, let's do it together. We'll get through it. Kick across the charge and we'll enjoy. Can I start by welcoming the guests? It is my absolute pleasure to say, on behalf of my wife and I. Welcome to our wedding. Thank you to our friends and family for coming out and celebrating our special day. It's been better than I could ever imagine. To have you by my side. I'd rather be you. There are some who we wish could be with us today. They're not in person, but certainly here in our hearts and thoughts, especially today. As Christine has mentioned, there's one person today who we miss more than most. I never knew Frank. I didn't have the pleasure of meeting him. I've heard so much about him, though, from friends, family, and from Hannah. He was a wonderful friend, father, and husband. If people in years to come can say the same about me, then I'll be a very happy man indeed. Please join me in the toast to our absent family and friends.
Absent family.
We'd like to take this time to thank our parents, who showed us so much generosity and helped us so much with today. Christine, you've welcomed you into the family from the very start, and you're excited when I asked you if I could take your daughter's hand in marriage. It's something I will never forget. Thank you for keeping this secret for such a long time. To my mum and dad, Lynn and Keith, you've always been there for me and supported me. I love you very much. Thank you so much. We'd like to present a gift to the mothers as a reminder of today. So if you give us 2 minutes. And raise another toast to our parents. Best thing that's ever happened to me, I like.
I need a dry paper.
Who could have thought 2 years ago? I thought 2 years ago. A wink across a crowded internet. Would have brought us to this moment here. We've shared so much together. We've laughed. We've visited so many places, seen so many things. I couldn't have wished for anything more. Asking you to marry me was the very easiest decision I've ever made. Where that was going to happen was a different story. It took a while, I had the ring for a while. I didn't know when it was going to happen. I knew it was going to happen.
So, Mommy.
Yeah, when?
Mommy.
Fate took us to Whitby one day. Yeah. I pulled a sickie from work. I was very ill. And we just walked around. I had the ring in my pocket. I kept checking it. See if it was still there. See if someone has taken it. We walked down the beach and I noticed a little beach just off the seawall. I thought, I think that's where it's going to be. We carried on walking. As we came back, I went down the steps. You want to say what I was doing? Of course, those who know Hannah well know it's very difficult to get her to do something she doesn't want to do. So to get her down to that little beach was quite a challenge. But you came then. I bent down on one knee, got soaked by a wave. asked you to marry me, and you said yes. And you made me a sweet man.
Oh. Oh.
Thank you so much. So, it's probably best time I take you over to my best man. Everyone hear me? So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, good evening and welcome to the marriage of Big Cannon. Yes. Welcome to the marriage of Richard and Hannah. Nice, easy, cheap here at the start. Wonderful. For those who don't know me, my name's Carl. I'm delighted to say I have the honour of acting as best man today. I'm also glad to say that this speech is going to be short and sweet. Anyone who I might have heard potential rumours of maybe a sweepstake. It might have been longer than a certain amount of time, but I'll be keeping an eye on it, don't worry.
8 minutes.
I'm not hearing monetary figures here. You need to help me out. Yeah, glad to say it's going to be short and sweet. I apologise to everybody if it fails to live to your expectations. To Hannah, I would say enjoy this speech, because however bad it is, it may not be the worst 5 minutes of your experience tonight. Sorry, Rich. On behalf of bridesmaids, who I'd like to think you all would think were particularly beautiful today, and myself, who I hope you'd also think rather nice today, especially in pink. I'd like to thank Richard and Hannah for asking us to be involved in one of the most important days of their lives. I know they've both put a tremendous amount of effort into today. The planning of the wedding, I can only hope that everything exceeds our expectations. The venue here today is absolutely fantastic. It's been a wonderful place to come, even until 9 o'clock last night waiting for the flowers to arrive. It was still a pleasure eating fish and chips in the dark. It's been a fantastic place to come, and the wedding's been superb today, and I hope it's been everything you dreamed it would be. I'd like to offer my thanks and thanks to the bride and groom, to all the staff here at York Mays for what a fantastic job they've done today, and what a wonderful experience it's been. Yeah, my thanks to them. The bridesmaids and the best man come second only to the beautiful blushing bride. I'm sure you all agree he looks simply stunning today. And Richard, of course, who looks simple and stunned as usual. One of the best man's tasks is to ensure that the groom arrives in time and in decent order. And I got halfway there. He was here when he was meant to be. I can only apologise for this. We only had so much time this morning with the workers, so we did what we could. Finally, I'd like to thank a few people on the faces that had a very, very easy day. They've had to cope with all the difficulties of standing around, pouting, looking pretty, failing to give out confetti when it was supposed to be given out. I know they spent a lot of money and time on their hair, maybe not probably so much, and makeup without the day just wouldn't have been the same, but Michael and Ronnie, the ushers for today, thank you very much.
It was nice when you took the confetti off us.
Yeah. Thank you for your help, such as it was, and you look wonderful as well. So, Richard and I have known each other since 1993. 25 years. We met in the first year at Tadcaster Grammar School. And our friendship was quickly forged on the back of our mutual love of sports. You will know from looking at both of us, possibly not the playing sports. But our love of sports was still there all the same. And whilst most kids at school were striving for sporting excellence and to improve how good they were at football and cricket, Richard and I began what can only be called a lifelong commitment to finding anything sports related that would distract us from having to do any work. Continues to this day. Summers were spent kicking football around in games where we were as interested in inflicting injury on each other as we were actually scoring any goals, which I know Jules, you still got a bit of a limp from that. But winters were where we really found our stride. We managed to convince Mr. Davis that we were committed to producing the best technology coursework that we could possibly do. And we were allowed, incredibly, access to one of the school's computers every lunchtime for nearly 3 months, so that we could make sure that our coursework was the best and get the best grades possible. The reality, of course, was very different. We were actually spending over 3 months of freezing lunchtimes huddled around a PC unsupervised, playing season after season of Championship Manager. Yeah. Much to the anger of Mr. Davis. It was Richard Font. Much to the anger of Mr. Davis when he found out and turfed his own to the rain. And I do believe we both failed him. So, but we did take results of a World Cup final, as I recall. Every cloud. Upon entering sixth form, Rich and I were the co-founders of the internationally acclaimed Tadcaster Wrestling Federation. We spent a lot of time raising thousands of pounds for charities, hundreds of which we actually gave for charities. Speak to Rich about that. And somehow we were given leave once again to miss lessons and generally waste our time. And in the process fail our A-levels. Some people, my parents, especially all of our teachers, anyone who had interest in our futures, said that this was a waste of time and we should probably have stopped it. But well, I can tell you that Richard and I are the only two world champions in TPBF history, one of whom has reigned for 18 years, 2 months, 11 days, 6 hours. I think you'll realise it was well worth it. And we're both available for autographs in hand. They are worthless, so, much like our A-levels. I suppose I should try and say something nice about Richard today. Thankfully, that isn't difficult. Richard is a great friend. He's always there with honest and straightforward advice and support, always willing to watch literally any football match from anywhere in the world, at any standard, especially if there's good beer and barbecued food available. And you very, very rarely see him without a smile on his face, especially since he's met Hannah. It genuinely makes me and all your friends so delighted to see you so happy and settled down with somebody who is obviously so right for you. And on a personal note, I'm incredibly proud to have been asked to be best man today. I can't put into words how grateful it is. I am sorry to be such a big part of your big day. So thank you very much. Traditionally, the best man's speech is an opportunity to cause embarrassment and discomfort and humiliation for the groom. But when your friend is such a good man as Rich, with such intensity and integrity and intelligence, it's difficult to do that. And I think just to embarrass him in front of you all would be a little bit unnecessary. However, this platform does seem like a fantastic opportunity for me to address something that I have a question really for Richard. I've had to ask him for some 20 years or so, and hopefully in the course of it, maybe right or wrong, and clear up an injustice. See, Richard and I, when we were in sixth form, worked together at the co-op, Bishopthorpe, working a range of menial dog spotting tasks, usually hungover or half drunk. And one such Saturday morning, we were both due to work a shift, and we were at a party on Friday night at the York Brewery. We were incredibly drunk, and picked up some pizzas on the way home. We're beginning to tweak what might be happening here. Picked up some pizzas on the way home, headed back to stay at my house. We were both at work the day after. Richard started at 7 a.m, which still seems horrendously unfair. And I was in at 9 o'clock with a nice little lie-in. So I woke up at 9, well, 8 o'clock, went downstairs, my parents were there with my sister for breakfast. I walked in and said hello, to silence, a somber mood. Nobody seemed to quite be particularly happy that day. Richard, of course, had been up and gone off to work. I walked in and my mum had a little frown on her face, and I said, "Mum, is everything okay?" And she said, after a small pause, "There's been an accident in the dining room." And when I went into the dining room, carnage is the only word that I can describe as to what was happening there. The bed was beautifully made where Richard had slept the night before. However, the bookshelves, the cup, the TV, the family ornaments, the precious photographs of holidays, many other things were befouled. They were spattered, smattered, pebble dashed with what can only be described as a boozy, cheesy, pizzery, vomity spray. Now, to be fair,
efforts had been made to tidy this up. As you could tell from the tiny pieces of toilet roll that were flecked here and there, where a half-hearted, drunken attempt to mop it up had been made. But really all it did was just add an accent. These new stains that were everywhere, and photographs that were ruined, the books that would have to be thrown away. So I got up and helped to try and tidy up. The smell was fairly horrendous, but we tidied up and I went off to work, and I arrived at the cop to see Richard standing behind the counter, serving people happily, without a care in the world. And I went to him and said, is everything okay last night, Rich? Everything all right?
Yeah, fine.
You slept okay?
Yeah, absolutely fine, no problem.
Oh, it's just, you know, went in the dining room, was sick everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, everywhere. All of the books, all of the floor, all of the everything, really.
Oh, okay.
And then came the reply that I think we need to clear up here, as Rich said to me. It must have been Monty. Monty was our beloved family dog. An elderly spaniel at this time who was loved by the whole family and very much incapable of either drinking beer, eating pizza, being sick all over bookcases, or indeed pathetically trying to tidy it up with toilet roll. So Richard, all I really want to ask today, in the course of this, is was it indeed Monty who destroyed all those books, photographs, carpets, everything else? Or was it maybe somebody else? Who's to know? Who's to know is the answer. I think everybody's to know, and yes. I think Monty will be exonerated by that muted acceptance of guilt. This splendid day that we're all enjoying has only come about because of the love between Richard and Hannah and their decision to show their commitment to each other through marriage. I have to say Hannah's been a wonderful influence on Rich. I think this is the first World Cup that he hasn't collected the Panini sticker on before. Unless you're doing it in secret, I don't know. I am. So it's been nice to see him finally grow up a little bit, and hopefully that will continue. You never know. He's been a very happy little soul since you two met, and you obviously make a wonderful couple together. And I wish you both all the future happiness that you deserve as you embark on your life together. So ladies and gentlemen, I'd like you to raise your glasses, be upstanding please, and join me in wishing the new Mr. and Mrs. Scott all the health, wealth and happiness in the world. I'd like to finish with a quote from a French writer whose name I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce after three rungs. And the quote is, love does not consist of gazing at each other, but in looking outwards together in the same direction. To the bride and groom.
Join me live on the Yorks train station. 158 has just come from Hull. Seeing Harrogate. Brickhouse has just left. 120 Stirling's just gone. And my time here. Trains have just gone to Manchester, Victoria. And it's Skyfall across the Atlantic just coming from London. It's a very busy station now. It's nice and sunny.